project that I did when I worked in Houston at the health department. So we have a large portion of the City of Houston Health Department there in the back, and I know that they'll be fielding questions later. This is a project that's very near and dear to my heart. It's conducting an assessment and intervention in Houston's inner city in a neighborhood called the Tri-Community. What initiated this project was actually the community approached us. They approached the health department and asked us for help in resolving problems they had with access to care. So what we did was we spearheaded the project along with community organizations and volunteers, and this was in September 2006. And in order to do this, we conducted an assessment, but we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just an assessment. It wasn't just a survey. We investigated access to care through that assessment. We explored their environmental concerns, but we also wanted to serve as a safety net by mobilizing not only our very large health department, but by mobilizing the community so that they would be able to serve as their own resource net after we conducted the survey, after we're long gone. Okay? And then up in the corner, you see a map of the community. It's called the Tri-Community. It's very small. It's a couple of miles long and a couple of miles wide. It's very close to the Houston Port Authority. It's an older community. It's very small, mainly African American. So the people that approached us were the elders in the community asking for help with access to care. In the mobilization effort, whenever we were bringing the community members and staff together, what we wanted to do was come to a common table so that we could identify assets that already existed in the community and then find out what the resources were. Not only the resources that we had at the health department, but resources with other agencies in the community, other nonprofits, and then bring those together to find answers from the community questions that we had. These are the agencies, just some of the agencies that participated with us. So you see over 15. We had civic clubs, the library, Job Corps, and then the City of Houston various departments, from the police to the Bureau of Animal Control. So what I wanted to do, I'm an epidemiologist. I noticed that there were lots of people who had worked for the health department for maybe 20 to 30 years. They'd spent their entire career there. And I think that many of them who worked out in the community on a regular basis, they didn't really think about public health the way I thought about it. And I wanted them to see the things I saw, not from a textbook fashion, but so that we were all thinking from the same perspective. In public health classes, I know you all know this, I'm preaching to the choir, but we always talk about the core functions and the essential services. And the more I walked the 8 floors of the building and got to know everybody, what I realized is, this is what we do all day long. We are public health. We are conducting not only the 3 core functions, but within those 3 core functions, all of the essential services out in the field and in the building. And so I really wanted everyone that was participating to get an understanding of them being a part of textbook, but alive, out in the field. So it was a 2-day event in September. There were 220 people, over 220 people, not just our staff from all divisions of the health department, but there were community volunteers from other agencies, 15 different agencies who sat with us at our internal command. And then we broke the teams down into pods. Pods is just another name for a group, but it was such a complex organization that we divided by pods, teams, and tiers. So I'm going to show you a map of this. Probably at the back, some of you can't see all of the script and the font. Don't worry so much about what it says within the squares. What's important is for you to get an idea of how complex our staffing was. What we wanted to do was be as concise and as clear as we were when we were conducting the assessment and going out in the community. So each pod or each group, and there were 4 different pods, had 3 teams, teams A, B, and C, and then each team had 3 tiers. And the tiers conducted specific functions. So tier 1, everybody that was assigned to tier 1 conducted the assessment. They went door to door and they asked questions on the survey. Everybody that was assigned to tier 2 were people that then followed up on questions that were very specific to the survey, meaning they provided direct assistance or education. So they went back and they said, now you answered this question on the survey, what more can we do for you? Here's our educational pamphlets. Do we need more referral activity from another agency? Tier 3 were mainly our nurses and our doctors. This was for emergent care. There weren't very many homes that identified need in this, but we wanted to make sure that since we're the health department and we're out there in the community and we have people that do this work, that if needed, we were going to be there. So this gives you an idea. Don't worry so much about the detail, but we divided the community. You saw that long map. We divided it into four sections, and each section was assigned a pod. So there was section 1, 2, 3, and 4. And what you might want to notice about this is the dark green, those were noticed as homes. These are GIS, or Geographic Information System maps. What's important about these maps that we use for the city is that these are identified as the most recently paid taxes. So we don't have zoning in Houston, but this is the land that had most recently had taxes paid. When we got to the community, we noticed that not all of them were actually residential areas, but they had been most recently resided upon. Now, it's a blurry picture, but this gives you an idea of us back at command using our NIM structure. We set up Command Central at a public building in the park, where we were then using these maps, and we had walkie-talkies and ability to communicate with our staff that was assigned to various pods. So here we are trying to understand which intersection they were if they needed more assistance. So then the assessment, or Tier 1, was basically us conducting the questionnaire in every home. We were also giving basic informational flyers and as well doing an interventional referral form. I'm going to show you an example of this later. It's a little bit complex, but I want to give you an example of something you can do when conducting an assessment, a way to do an intervention at a really complex but wonderful level for Tiers 2 and 3. The questionnaire was basic. It was 28 questions. It was purely descriptive. It was a questionnaire that we had adapted. They had done in San Antonio in 1994. And what we really appreciated about it is that we had assistance from the neighborhood leadership. So the folks that requested for us to be there, they helped us put the questionnaire together. They made sure that the questions we were asking were questions that were useful to them. Then we conducted face-to-face interviews, and we made an attempt to go to every home in the community. So sort of census style, there was no sampling from epidemiologic methods. We went to every home in the community, and the goal was to really touch everyone and reach everyone that we could. The study unit was the household, which is essentially a home, and then anyone that lived within the home that was 18 years or older was able to participate. So this gives you an example, though it's a blurry picture. This is one of the teams. I think this is Pod 1, Team A. They were getting ready, putting their assessments in their backpacks to go out into the field. Now, our response rate, there were approximately 605 homes we found from our GIS mapping. We were able to actually survey 53%, or 322 of those homes. We were unable to get to about 31%, and we were refused interviewing from 16%. We made two attempts. For the ones that we could not interview, we conducted this event for 2 days, on a Friday and a Saturday, so as to erase as much bias as possible. I wanted to make sure that if we went to every home on Friday, which we did, we tried at least once, then for those folks that were working, we would go back on Saturday as well, and we did. What we wanted to do here then, looking at the demographics of this community, was to see what are we learning? What is the information that we have from these 53% of the homes that we talked to, and compare it to our census information. And what we found I thought was really interesting is that it really did compare. Although their sample size was much larger, and they spent a lot more time doing it, we found that for demographic information, it was comparative. So most of the homes that we saw, or at least about 44%, were populated homes, homes with three or more people, just like the census. And this is the white portion of the pie, okay? For homes with children, and as I mentioned earlier, there's a large elderly population in this neighborhood. We saw 49% of the population had no children. The census, though, saw 36%. Now, this is something that we were really interested in particular when we were comparing our information to the census information. We know that there was a pretty large group of households with elderly, but we wanted to know how many of those elderly were living alone. And we found that our information was comparative. So 29% is what we saw, and 33% for descriptive statistics. I'm quite interested in that. And the age distribution is also quite similar to what they found with the census. What we found, though, with access to healthcare is not quite what we expected. Most of the households that we surveyed, that we spoke to, and remember, there were approximately 605 homes. We actually ended up speaking to 322. So among the 322 homes that we spoke to, a majority of them told us that access to care was not a major concern for them. So 78% already had a regular doctor. 78% had no problem obtaining medical care. And this is something we were kind of surprised about. This is not what we expected to hear. But I kept reminding myself, and I want us to remember that we shouldn't really generalize what we find here, because we were trying to do a census-style survey where we go to every home in the community, and we really only got to half. So we don't know what's happening with that other half. And these are the reasons why we might not be able to say that access to care was a concern or it wasn't a concern. It's possible that the people that we spoke to really didn't have problems with access to care. And just like I said earlier, it's possible the people we didn't speak to do have problems with access to care. At the same time, the community members who requested us to come to the community because they believed that there was a concern, it's possible their perceptions were incorrect. But we don't know because we don't have that data, so I just want to point that out. Now, as far as environmental health goes, though, what we found was quite interesting. More than half of the residents that we spoke to were very concerned about their air quality. And as I mentioned, this community is very close to Houston's Ship Channel. It's just to the south here of the map. What they are surrounded by is an active railroad track, the Ship Channel, a dredge spoils facility, and a very active highway, 610. So they are completely surrounded by things that pollute. Now, intervention, tiers 2 and 3, the follow-up tiers based upon questions on the questionnaire, provided direct assistance, information, and emergent care. This is the form that I mentioned. I know you won't be able to see all of the detail. That's not so important. But the idea is that this is something we did based upon answers to the questionnaire. For instance, if you answered question 26, which asked, do you have concerns about your environment, then we would have a team come back from Tier 2 and fill out this form with you and follow up what the questions were on this form. Thank you. So there were 183 homes that did have referrals and concerns, and this was a long, arduous process. Among those homes, it took about 2 months to follow up, 2 months to close those cases, and there are still 9 households 2 months later that needed intensive follow-up case management work. The conclusion of the project, and what I mentioned at the beginning, is that within the health department there were people who had worked there for 20 to 30 years, and then those of us who are newer graduates, epidemiologists, who saw things from a very public health perspective. We really understood, some of us, myself being an epidemiologist, core functions and essential services. And so what we wanted to do with this project is make sure that everyone who works in the health department mobilizing understood that they are performing core functions and essential services. And we really did a little bit of everything on the core functions and essential services, which is something I'm really proud of. The community impact was tremendous. We were a part of cleaning up vacant and abandoned lots, which is something we saw a lot of. Remember I mentioned the dark green were all quoted as residential lots where taxes had been paid. A lot of them were actually vacant and abandoned. We also followed up on narcotics complaints, graffiti complaints, gas leaks. And as well, our Bureau of Air Quality Control then created a team with the mayor's office to try to cure particulate matter or road dust as a result of the environmental concerns. So the lessons learned, we've conducted 3 projects since then. The project that we did in May 2007 was a purely Spanish-speaking project, and we'll do now 2 projects a year, smaller, more devoted body of staff, 30 to 40 people as opposed to 220, with more time to collect the data. So this is the contact information for the staff that is conducting the projects now. It's called AIM, Assessment, Intervention, and Mobilization. So if you have any questions, I can answer those questions, and some